The body was found on April 12, 2007, in Cold Spring Park, 65 acres of pine woods that bordered the school grounds. The woods were veined with jogging paths. They crisscrossed one another and led through many branchings to a main trail that ringed the perimeter of the park. I knew these trails pretty well. I jogged there most mornings. It was along one of the smaller trails that Ben's body had been flung face down into a little gully. It slid to a stop at the foot of a tree. A woman named Paula Gianetto discovered the body as she jogged past. The time of discovery was precise. She switched off her jogging watch as she paused to investigate at 9:07 a.m., less than an hour after the boy had left his home for the short walk to school. There was no blood visible. The body lay with its head downhill, arms extended, legs together, like a graceful diver. Gianetto reported that the boy was not obviously dead, so she rolled him over, hoping to revive him. "I thought he was sick. Maybe he passed out or something. I didn't think..." The medical examiner would later note that the body's inverted position on sloping ground, feet above head, may have accounted for the unnatural flush of the face. Blood had drained into the head, causing lividity. When she rolled the boy over, the witness saw the front of his T-shirt was sopped in red blood. Gasping, she stumbled and fell backward, crabbed a few feet away on her palms and heels, then got up and ran. The position of the body in the murder scene photos, twisted, face up, therefore was not accurate. The boy had been stabbed 3 times in the chest. One strike punctured the heart and would by itself have been fatal. The knife was driven straight in and jerked straight out again, 1, 2, 3, like a bayonet. The weapon had a jagged edge, evidenced by shredding at the left edge of each wound and in the torn shirt fabric. The angle of entry suggested an attacker about Ben's size, 5'10" or so, although the sloping ground in the park made this projection unreliable. The weapon had not been found. There were no defensive wounds. The victim's arms and hands were unmarked. The best clue, perhaps, was a single pristine fingerprint, stamped in the victim's own blood, cleanly preserved on a plastic tag on the inside of the victim's unzipped sweatshirt, where his murderer might have grabbed him by the lapels and tossed him down the slope into the gully. The print did not match either the victim or Paula Gianetto. The bare facts of the crime had developed very little in the 5 days since the murder. Detectives had canvassed the neighborhood and twice swept the park immediately after the discovery and again 24 hours later to find witnesses who frequented the park at that hour of the day. The sweeps had yielded nothing. To the newspapers and, increasingly, to the terrified parents at the McCormick School, the murder looked like a random strike. As the days passed with no news, the silence from the cops and the DA's office seemed to confirm parents' worst fears. A predator lurked in the woods of Cold Spring Park. Since then, the park lay abandoned, though a Newton police cruiser idled in the parking lot all day to reassure the joggers and power walkers. Only the dog owners continued to come to let their dogs off the leash on a meadow designated for this purpose.